When is a cross not a cross? Is that possible? Aren't they all crosses? This is Father Voskin. I am a priest of the Armenian Church, and I'd love to connect the dots in this edition, number 392 of The Next Step. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's do it. Let's take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armedoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
So good to have you with us today, and I'm happy to be here too, of course. I've been looking forward to this week's next step. Yeah, we are recording from a makeshift studio in Sunland, California. Yeah, you'll have to do some geography to figure out where we're at today. But we are all together. Ken is with me. He is in a small little window on my screen, virtually joining us. And of course, Susie, our producer, is here too, virtually, of course. She's on the message center. So one way or another, we're all together and we're putting together this next step. It's wild. Yeah, it really is wild. I always think about these times, you know, like in the 8 years we've been podcasting, all the different varieties of ways that we've been able to come to you. But anyway, I got a great show for you today because I want to talk to you about, well, when is a cross not a cross? Something happened this week. Yeah, you know me. Every week something happens. And it's always my pleasure to bring it to you. We are in the middle of the Advent season. We're getting ready for Christmas coming up. And I shared with you a few weeks ago how Pope Francis had said that Christmas is really a strain, and rightly so. You know, when you consider the wars, when you consider the threat to peace has now escalated to just there is no peace, right? Remember, we used to talk about a threat to peace. Well, where is that peace? And so how can we talk about the Prince of Peace being born? How can we talk about Christmas, Jesus Christ coming into the world? Got a lot to talk about today, a lot of ideas to put together. I was really looking forward to this, especially after last week. You heard my late night podcast last week where we were talking about, well, about reality and how immortality is facilitated by the technology that we have right now, that we are basically able to stay immortal thanks to all of this technology that preserves information. So you've got your videos, you've got your pictures. I remember when we cleaned out my mom's house a few years ago, as we were making the transition for her, and there was just boxes and boxes of photographs. And what do you do with those photographs? Well, it was a means of preserving memories. Now think about it. Now think about how we have this opportunity to just basically digitize all of life. And you can just store it up on the cloud. And I'm going to start right there because I think one of the points, it was so late night last week that I didn't really get a chance to make the ultimate point. That really, when we talk about cloud-based, this is really the problem, quote-unquote, of Armenian Christianity, of Armedoxy, is that we're not really cloud-based. We're not talking about some future event. And tragically, so many people want to talk about what's to come. I mean, you know, I've got to be honest with you. When I do my Bible studies, when I do lessons, when people come up and talk to me, I can deal with all kinds of questions that people have. The one question that I cannot deal with, I mean, I have such little tolerance for, is what about the Jews? What about the Muslims? What? Yeah, you know, I have a friend, he's a Muslim, and he's a really good guy. Will he go to heaven? Or my sister-in-law, you know, she's Jewish. But she's a really nice lady. She does all kinds of good things. What about her? Can't she go to heaven? I don't know, folks. Come on. Why are we so consumed about an afterlife? Do you know that at the end of the day, when it's all over, when you close your eyes for the last times, you have to come to peace with your maker, and everybody has to do it at their own level. I mean, if you think about the entire world, the world population, the majority is not Christian. Yeah, really. The majority of the world is not Christian. So if you follow that kind of logic that these people who keep asking these questions, their logic, you know, that Jesus Christ is the only way up there. So in other words, you're saying that God is the creator. God has created people, and most of those people will not go to heaven because they're not Christian. Oh, well, you know, everybody's going to be given a chance to hear. Come on, stop it. Stop it. The only one who makes that decision is God. Whatever happens after this life, it's God's doing. We are too consumed about cloud base, and we're not consumed about this temporal existence, which we need to be if we want to have peace, if we want to make sure that Christ's message of love is passed around. It's here, in the here and now, that we have to actualize these principles of love, of peace, of compassion, of caring, right now. And that's, it's really a hard one. I have absolutely no tolerance when people just ask me, well, what about that? I don't know. Yeah, I know. People say, well, what do you mean you don't know? I get my Protestant brothers and sisters. What do you mean you don't know? What kind of Christian are you? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, okay. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. Yeah, okay. And I also know that Jesus is love incarnate. So I also know that no one goes to the Father except through love. And that love means having compassion. It means not acting as the Father. It means acting as the child and being this open individual who's going to be out there, accepting that we are not God. You know, last week we were at the homeless shelter, and we had, you know, we were doing these meals. It was 1 week where we were, our St. Peter group from Glendale was collaborating. Is that the right word? Partnering with a church here in the Glendale area. One church was giving space and the other church was providing the meal. And so it was our turn to provide the meals. And we were out there, and it came time for dinner. And my wife Susan asked one of the kids that was there, would you like to lead the prayer? And he led a beautiful, very simple prayer, thanking God. And at the conclusion of that prayer, he said, and may we not be homeless. Wow! By the way, he wasn't Christian. Should we not feed him? Well, he's not going to go to heaven, right? Should we not feed him? Come on! We got to get out of these parochial situations that we find in them, and these religious boundaries that we put. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today, because when I say, when is a cross not a cross? Oh man, I had a wake-up call, because we as a Christian church are not acting as a Christian church. And so last week when I talked about coming off of the cloud, that non-cloud existence, I was also alluding to the fact that we are just too consumed with the afterlife rather than being consumed, not only consumed, but actually living the life that we have right now. Tomorrow is going to come whether you like it or not. And Jesus Christ in no uncertain terms said, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough cares of its own. First, set your mind on God's kingdom. Wow. And all else will come to you. That's how simple it is. We complicate it by putting up all these barriers and everything. People are hurting in the here and now. Can we bring about peace? Can we really do the work that Christ commands us to do? Another kid in the homeless shelter, one of our ladies, our volunteers, went up to him and said, what would you like to be when you grow up? That's a fair enough question. That's a question we ask all of our kids. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you expect him to say? Come on, think about it. What would you say? Well, our kids would say that I want to be a fireman. I want to be an engineer. Hey, I want to be a lawyer. Those are the popular ones, right? Doctor. I want to be a doctor. Yeah. I always thought fireman was probably the most popular. And I think there's an evolution, right? As you get a little bit older, you get into some of the more critical ones that make more money. But the fun one, of course, is always fireman. Tough job, but it's fun, right? Those big red fire trucks. Anyway, what do you suppose he said? What do you want to be when you grow up? He answered, normal. He answered, normal. Okay. What's the lesson that we're getting from these people? What are we seeing all around us? That we have job to do. We have work to do right here. Got to get our mind out of that cloud. The kingdom of God is right here. Jesus says it's right here. It's enacted in your presence. Jesus Christ came. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven it is done. I need it to be done here on earth. Make me that vehicle. Make me that instrument so that it can be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's how easy it is. We complicate it, don't we? We add too much to it. So I've got this kind of week where all kinds of stuff happened. We had a great, great party on last Saturday night. It was our St. Peter's once a year Christmas gala. It was just a fun, fantastic family event. Our church is a very family-oriented thing, and everybody who was there was really just really remarkable. Hey, let me do a quick few shout-outs, because talking about family, our Next Step family is growing over here. Big shout-out to our dear friends Armon and Audrina on the birth of their child, Vivian, and beautiful little girl, saw pictures. Another shout-out to my dear brother in Christ, Father Seto, who stood up as godfather to a young little boy named Narek, and I had the privilege of baptizing that child. Another big shout out to the Setien family. Wonderful run last Sunday morning. We had the Oaxacan Setien run, and we were out in Beverly Hills, did a 5-mile run. I cheated a little. I had to end it at about 3.5 miles because I had to get over back to church to start the services. But it was just a great lot of people. I'd say a couple hundred people walking through the town of Beverly Hills. And let me see, there was one more shout-out I wanted to do. Oh, yeah, my dear friend Alan, one of our boys from St. Peter, he became a deacon. He was elevated to the rank of deacon by His Eminence Archbishop Hovnon, and this all came together over this past week. We had Bishop Armash Nalbanyan, who is the primate of the Armenians in Syria, in Damascus, Syria. And that was just a very blessed and special event last Sunday. So it was a full week of a lot of good things that came together, people coming together. So big shout out and big congratulations. New baby, Vivian, to a new child of Christ, Nadeg, and to all the wonderful people who just keep doing the good stuff out there. God bless you all. I'm going to take a break right now and play the song of the day, because when I come back, I'm going to talk about some serious heavy-duty stuff about the cross. When is a cross not a cross? Yeah. You'd be surprised how this all came about. I had to sit through, well, for a lack of a better word, now, let me just call it interesting, not to get too critical, an interesting service and an eye-opener. Just thought about a lot of stuff. And I want to share that with you coming up in the second portion of our show. I'm going to take a break right now. You know what I'm going to play for you? We are in the Advent season. It is Christmas season coming up, and we haven't started our collection of Christmas carols that we always have so much fun with here on The Next Step. I've got to do some more. I mean, it just occurred to me. But this morning, my son, Varujan, sent me some information about a guy named Duncan doing some bluegrass. How's that? Bluegrass Christmas. That's what I think I'm going to play today, okay? Enjoy this one. Duncan doing Angels We Have Heard on High. That is off of a Bluegrass Christmas album. Did you like that? I know it's different. It's not the next steppy, but you know, yeah, I know. You kind of... Ken's flashing me a picture of the Beverly Hillbillies right now. No. This was fun music. Actually, the whole album is fun. I'm going to put a link on today's show's notes. Do support all of the artists that we feature here on The Next Step. It's we just have a lot of fun. And they just brighten up all of our lives with this great music. That, again, Craig Duncan, the Bluegrass Christmas album. Well, it is the Advent season. We are preparing for Christmas. And here on The Next Step, we have this interesting challenge, so to speak. When you have the Pope coming out and saying that Christmas is a charade, I don't think that that's a Scrooge-like attitude. I think it's a realist, somebody who's saying, look at all the problems in the world, and there is no peace. There is war. People are terrorizing one another, bombing one another. How can we dare to talk about the Prince of Peace coming down with the lighting of lights and singing Christmas carols, as if we are like well, in Armenian, there's this expression called Chaylami Hoke Panotun. It is the psychology of an ostrich. And although I hear ostriches really don't do this, but ostriches, apparently, the idea, the story behind ostriches is that they will put their head in the sand and or in the ground and not see anything. By putting their head in the ground, all of a sudden, you know, there's no problem. So, you know, there's the cheetah running towards that ostrich and coming pretty fast, and the ostrich sticks his head in the sand and says, "Oh no, the cheetah doesn't exist." Well, that cheetah's going to get a nice bite out of that ostrich, and the meaty portion of it too, I must say. So, are we doing that when we talk about Christmas? Are we really living this charade, this myth, this joke of an expression? We're Christmas caroling ourselves, we're lighting lights, we're putting up trees, and what's the real focus of it is to usher in the Prince of Peace. And here we have this opportunity once a year, Christmas, and look at the world. What situation are we in? Now, every year, I told you I went to a service every year since our cathedral here in Los Angeles was built in 2010. So for the past 5 years, our archbishop calls together an ecumenical gathering. And these are clergy from different denominations who get together. And they have a service, an ecumenical prayer service. And just some beautiful music too, I have to say. This year the choir of the cathedral was there, and we had a few people that came and did some solo work, some inspirational songs, nice music. But you know what? What's really kind of bothersome to me is the lack of rejoicing, the lack of excitement, the lack of energy. A lot of times these prayer services end up just being just basically a recitation of prayers, or here's the booklet, follow the book. And where does the heart speak, or should the heart speak? I think it should. But, you know, when you get into these liturgical situations, and I think this is one of the problems of some of the ancient churches, including the Armenian church, it's that they're so liturgically based that we forget about the heart of the service. So here is the service. These are the prayers that should be said. One of our forefathers wrote this prayer. Go ahead and recite it. And, you know, we've been doing these alternative services for the past several years. Wednesday evenings, when we get together for our Bible studies, we put together a small little Vesper service. And every week we do something that is dedicated to a different cause. Now, these services, purely Orthodox, I mean, they follow the plan, they are prayers, but it's more than just reciting a prayer that has been written centuries ago, but it's actually feeling them and expressions. Like, for instance, in our Divine Liturgy, we have three different readings, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament letters of Paul, and then, of course, a gospel reading. Now, in our alternative services, is it fair to say that we can have a contemporary reader? A contemporary reading, for instance, Martin Luther King Jr. speaking out against the Vietnam War. We had one service where we read that. And why not? Just as the Apostle Paul spoke about the situation taking place in Philippi or in Corinth or in Galatia, Martin Luther King was talking to an audience that was starving for the redemption of God and the power of God. And he brings together some different things that are perhaps we can say is contemporary, definitely is contemporary, but more in tune with what people are struggling with today. And so in our alternative services, we include some of these readings as well. And it's the little push that we need to go outside of the boundaries of just saying that this is a liturgy that is written, but rather it is a liturgy of the heart. And so we were at this ecumenical gathering, and pastors, ministers, clergy from different denominations. It was all Christian, Christian denominations coming together. I've been at ones where it's been interfaith, people of different faith, and especially after 9/11 here in the United States, we've had many, many occasions to sit down with our Muslim brothers, with our Jewish brothers, with our Buddhist brothers and sisters. And yes, I have to say sisters too. I'm sorry. That was it wasn't just a complete slip on me, okay? You know me. I'm inclusive, okay? There'll be brothers and sisters from these different denominations and different backgrounds, different faith traditions that we'll get together. But in this case, it was completely Christian ministers. Now, this all happens, and our Archbishop every year decides to dedicate this service to a particular cause or a particular group of people who have been instrumental in humanitarian efforts, doing some good work in the community. In the past, we've recognized doctors. I remember it was either last year or the year before, it was a physician who had gone to Armenia from Los Angeles County Children's Hospital and had done so much work with Armenian children in Armenia and the homeland. This time it was to recognize the efforts of the American Red Cross. Now, the American Red Cross, I have to say, is this unique organization that really pops up. You really don't know that they exist until a tragedy hits. And then when the tragedy hits, oh boy, you are so thankful that they're around. And those could be natural disasters. They could be tragedies of seismic proportion, or small things too. I believe the statistic they gave was that half of all the blood that is collected here in the United States, just for transfusions and operations on a one-on-one basis, in other words, somebody who needs it, half of that is collected by the Red Cross. So certainly there are some smaller things that they attend to, but those cataclysmic disasters that take place, the Red Cross is always there. And so the Archbishop decided that this year he wanted to dedicate the ecumenical service to the American Red Cross, and certainly an organization that is worthy of a lot of acknowledgement and thanks, appreciation. So in that sense, it was a beautiful evening. Like I said, there's something wrong. There's just the festivity of the service. There's no festivity in there. And clergy just... Did you guys see that Conan O'Brien in Armenia? He makes a point over there. And so rightly so. Yeah, they ask him a question about Armenian women. He says, "Your Armenian women are beautiful, but what's with the men? They're all just so... They're so mad. They're so upset." And I was thinking about that the other day. Yes, Armenian clergy, geez, especially when they put that verar, that headpiece on, you know, the pointy one. Oh, some of them just look really scary. I remember Archbishop Diran Nersoyan once, in my presence, I remember him saying it, in a blessed memory, of course. He said, "They look sinister. They look sinister. They really do." I mean, the verar, that hat that the Armenian clergy, it's a monastic, it's left over from the monastic era, and where the monks would actually be working in the fields, and aerodynamically the air would flow through that verar, and so it was formed in such a way so that they could actually work in the fields, they could work in the monasteries, and bring some comfort to them. But now that we're wearing them as part of our vestments, and so the monks wear them still, and the bishops, of course, and I don't know, there's just no excitement, there's no happiness in the service. And you say, well, should there be happiness? Yes, of course. Don't we say we celebrate? We celebrate the Divine Liturgy. We celebrate this service. We are thankful with a glad heart. make a joyful noise to the Lord. Where is that joy? Shouldn't that be also part of these services? Or is it just supposed to be mellow and pretty negative? And I think there's something to be said about the history, that the baggage that comes in with the Armenian people. And so you've got this ancient history of all kinds of persecutions and probably some very few opportunities to express that happiness and that joy. But the Christian has to go beyond this understanding of life, that everything is being settled here in this world. No, we try to make the best of this world. We try to bring our element by bringing that joy into this world, the joy of Christ. And if we are going to see peace in this world, it has to begin with each and every one of us. If we want to see love implemented, we have to be those agents of love, and we have to be happy in the things that we do. So here we are in the service, and they call up the representative of the American Red Cross, happens to be the CEO of the Los Angeles chapter or something. I forget what his title was, but he was pretty up there in the ranks, okay? He was the CEO of something, of the Red Cross, American Red Cross. And he got up, and this is the portion that kind of got to me. He pointed to his lapel pin, which was the standard American Red Cross, or the Red Cross logo. It's just, it's a Red Cross. Its arms are equal and perpendicular to one another. Different from, say, like an Armenian cross, where it would have the three pointies on the side. It would have the bottom foot of the cross is a little bit longer. This one, I'm sure you've seen it. Okay, the Red Cross. He had the Red Cross lapel pin on him. And he pointed to that pin and he says, "We have a cross too, but I don't want you." Now he's talking to a Christian audience here. He says, "I don't want you to think that this has anything to do with religion." Interesting, huh? "I don't want you to think this has anything to do with your religion, with Christianity." Interesting too, right? So he went on and he explained how the Red Cross began. And he explained that it was formed in the 1800s. I believe he said 1866, thereabouts, when there were all kinds of wars taking place in Europe. And he would say that the two sides would come out and battle it out, and there would be people that were left for dead on the battlefields. And a group of people, humanitarians, would get up and they would hoist up this Red Cross. And basically that told both sides that the people that were going out were neutral. They didn't take sides. They weren't on the side of one country or the other country, one religion or the other religion. They saw all of humanity as one group, as one people. Following me? Those of you who are next steppers know where I'm going, right? He says that they would put up the flag, the Red Cross, and so you wouldn't be targeting these people, and they would go and tend to the people out on the fields. And so he makes the case that the Red Cross is really neutral, doesn't take sides with anybody. And he also pointed out that, well, what is the neutral country? Switzerland, and look at the Swiss flag. You look at Switzerland's flag, it is the opposite of the Red Cross. It is red with a white cross right in the middle. It's almost like a punch out of the Red Cross. We're neutral, he says. And I'm thinking to myself, geez, isn't this what we should be? Isn't this what we've been preaching as Armadoxy? Have you or have you not heard me talk about that for God, all wars are civil wars, that we are all his children? And isn't this where the Christian church should be? How dare somebody come up and say that this cross is not a religious symbol? No, it is the symbol of neutrality. No, it isn't. It is the symbol of Christianity. And Christianity has gotten off the track. We've missed the boat. We are so consumed with what's going to happen and defining our God and expressing God in this way or that way that we've missed the point of this existence here, that our job is to go out and tend to people without reservation. In other words, being colorblind, being politically blind, being, yes, religiously blind. We're so consumed with who's going to get up into heaven. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only answer. You've got to have this. You've got to have that. That we missed the boat on saying that Christianity is the religion or the faith of the cross. And the cross doesn't see sides, it doesn't see colors, it doesn't see religion. The cross is the expression of sacrifice. Jesus Christ on that cross made no exceptions. His mission was very clean and clear. Jews, you are saying you're the chosen people. I'm sorry, there's no such thing. You are all children of God. And everyone can receive the kingdom. Everyone is invited to the Father's kingdom, not just a certain group of people. On the cross, people were saying, yeah, we were baptized in his name. People could be saying, look at that. I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus Christ. On the cross, he looks over to the guy next to him who was not baptized, who was a sinner worse than anyone else. Yeah, let's give him that credit too. Okay, we'll put him in the worst place possible. He was condemned to die, and he says, today you will be in paradise. Today you will be in paradise. God makes those decisions, not us. We need to start getting out of that cloud-based mentality. We need to start understanding that we do have a purpose here in this world. And it took somebody like the Red Cross talking to a Christian audience to bring this out in me, that I am just sick and tired of being labeled in this parochial system that says that we are different, we are better than other people, when the only hope of our salvation is for us to understand that we are all children of God. We all sin. We all make our mistakes. And it is the grace of God that lifts us up from our humanity and lets us touch that divine power. There is a divine power out there, and it's accessible to each and every one of us. That divine power is the power of love. It's the power of understanding, of compassion, of reaching out and sharing and caring about other people. Do we miss the boat? Yes, we do. We miss out on the greatest of God's gifts when we start putting up our boundaries and saying, I'm this color, I'm that color. I believe in that, you believe in this, so there's an incompatibility here. No, the compatibility factor becomes something essential, and that's what Jesus fought for. Yes, he fought for it. The fight, one that he was willing to give his life for. When he got up on that cross, it was for all of humanity. Listen to the words. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Who were Christ's friends? Did he have enemies? No, he negated the enemy question, right? He says, love your enemies. They are friends. He loved them all. He cared about everyone. There were no enemies. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, we recite this. We memorize this. We commit this to memory. But are we willing to go one step more and understand it? Really, the faith of Armodoxy, and I'm convinced of this, the more I do the reading, the more I do the research, when you get rid of all the hoopla, Armodoxy is in its purest form the Christian expression. Because in Armodoxy, we find that it is our ability to connect to the divine through Christ. And this is not a religion. It is a means of life. It is a way of life. Because when we stand up and we say the Nicene Creed, when we recite it, I believe in the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. I believe in the Son, one Son, Jesus Christ, light of light, God of God, true light of true light, and so on. When we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and we say, I believe in the Holy Church, and we believe in the remission of sins, and so on, okay? We talk about all of these things. What's missing out of that creed? The most essential element. We believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. I think the Christian church is ready for a revision of the Nicene Creed. And I'm not saying take anything out. I'm just saying add one more line in there. I believe, we believe, in the teachings of Jesus Christ. His teaching was pure. His teaching is essential. And last night we had an interesting Bible study because there was a lot of questions about, well, what is that teaching? Where does it emanate? What about the Old Testament? Let me tell you something. Christ in itself is independent of time. Christ appears as Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. He gave us this lesson. We have the Holy Spirit who keeps it alive in our hearts. We have the Holy Scriptures, which are reminders for us. They make it alive for us today, what happened over there. But our only hope is to take that message and, here's the magic word, apply it to our life today. Because what good is it? What good is it if we just talk and we just pray and we put on these headpieces and we put on these beautiful vestments? You should have seen some of the vestments at this thing. They were all kinds. Of course, we in the Armenian church, we get the traditional black. It was cool. I don't complain. I like the Armenian church black robe. You know, it's just like so basic, right? Get to put a cross on it. Some of them, they've got these wraparounds, these stoles. How about our vestments for the liturgies when we dress up for the divine liturgy? Well, each of those vestments have meanings, of course, but they're lost, those lost meanings, because we look at them and we say, oh, how pretty is that? I was sitting next to a minister who was from one of the counties in the area, Orange County, it's called, down from Los Angeles. And so she had a long ride to get back and we were talking and everything. So at the very end, we were talking and she had heard a piece of the Armenian music. And her question, very basic question, do Armenian priests need to have a good voice to become a priest? Yeah, that's it. You don't know how much I've fought against that all of my life. Talking about the good voice. No, you need to have a good heart. You need to have compassion. You need to be aligned with Christ and his teachings. That's what we need when we talk about priests. Not more good voices. God knows we have a lot of those good voices. We need to be able to have that heart, that expression. And so when is a cross not a cross? Let me tell you, this was an interesting wake-up call to me that we have missed the boat completely. I don't know where we're headed with this ministry because I've got to tell you, I'm really at the edge. We see a lot of stuff and you see a lot of stuff that is being done for the sake of people's glory and you get tired of it. I don't know if I could go to one more event where so-and-so is awarded this plaque or that kind of medal of honor because he or she has done this or that thing. Are we so insecure in our faith that we feel that it is up to these people to keep God's kingdom floating? Yeah, floating, because we're scared that it's going to take a dive. It's going to go under if we're not there. No. God doesn't need you or me to defend him. We need God. I shared with you a few months ago when a book came out. It was called In Defense of the Armenian Church. And the logos on the cover of the book, a sword and a shield. How about logos of faith? How about logos of love? How about if we defend the Armenian Church? We defend our faith with the good works that we're doing, with the love and the kindness that we're talking about. Here in America, I know a lot of our listeners are outside of America. This past few weeks have been just filled with all kinds of religious issues, one of which, of course, was the shootings here in San Bernardino in Southern California, and finding out that it is radical extremists and Muslims. And so now we've got one of the candidates of the major political party, Donald Trump, saying that all Muslims need to be excluded from coming into the country on a temporary basis. We need to check them out. No more Muslims in here. I don't know. They're going wild. And now you've got the rest of the party. Everybody's saying, we want to be politically correct. A lot of people believe it, but they want to say that they're going to side up with political correctness. Other people are taking the message and just convoluting it and changing it around. Let me tell you something. The church, Christianity, should not be concerned with these kind of political games because they keep our mind away from the target, which is very simply life. Life here. The goodness that God has given us. The goodness of this life. And our only hope is for us to understand that we are all in this together. We are on this small little planet, we're together, and we have an incredible set of tools by which we can make it work. And those tools are not anything anybody has made. Any kind of technology, it is beyond everything that we can imagine when we talk about the word tool. Our greatest tool is right inside of us. It's that compassion, that heart that's beating and giving us a faith in a tomorrow. I'm going to take a break right now. I told you I had a lot on my mind. I still do. There's like all kinds of notes. Hope you're with me right now. Anyway, here's Susie, who's not with me, but she's making this announcement.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you, all of you, for your kind prayers, your donations, your messages of hope. They go a long way. They encourage us. Your prayers, I can't tell you how important it is. You know, when you pray for the things that are important in your life, please include Apostle. Please include In His Shoes. Please include Father Vazgen, because those prayers get to us, and we do feel them. It's really remarkable. I'm recording today from a small makeshift studio. A lot of personal issues. I have to be in Sunland today. So we basically packed up the whole studio and we came up here. I would like to get a small little van. I would like to get a recording studio on wheels so we could do some stuff that really goes beyond the limit. So I'm putting it out there. I put it out a few weeks ago, but I haven't forgotten about it. I do want that recording studio. We need to figure out how we're going to do it. Just like a van, Apostle on wheels. Wouldn't that be cool? Just to get everywhere. But today we're in Sunland, and we're thankful. You know, if you have an internet connection, you've got your computer, you've got your microphone, and we've got some great people on the other end, Ken, Susie, putting it all together, and it's really remarkable. But there is a price tag on that. And that price tag is the price tag of technology. These units do cost, and not as near as much as if we were to go full blown out and did these kind of mega churches. But we feel like this is a mega church. We get conversations going from people all over the world, and that can't be too bad, right? So I want to thank you, first of all, and encourage you. This is toward the end of the year. I don't know if there's any tax benefits for you, but if there is and you're making a donation, we would surely appreciate it. You can go on our website at inhisshoes.org, press on the donate button and make your donation, and we certainly appreciate it. Hey, listen, we are at the end of today's show. Like I said, there's so much I want to share with you. Would you mind if we went to a couple times a week? No, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. But hopefully in the next few weeks, then things are going to be changing for me personally. I don't know really where we're going. We've left it in the hands of God. And we'll see. We're going to have an opportunity to expand this ministry. And if it's in God's will, why not? We're ready to do it. I want to thank you very much for joining us today. We're having a children's memorial in Glendale this Sunday evening at 7 o'clock local time. If you happen to be in the area, we'd love to see you. We're at 632 West Stocker Street in Glendale. And if not, join us with your prayers. I'll be talking about it next week in a little bit more detail. But for right now, just let me tell you, things are moving along at a pretty fast pace. Never enough time to do the things that we want to do. Gonna go out to a small little craft fair, and guess what? Our own Susie has her delicious marmalades and jams on sale. Yeah, you looking for that perfect Christmas gift? Yeah, drop Susie a line. She's got some great, great stuff, okay? And of course, my sister Anush, she's got some great pomegranate jewelry, some pomegranate and eye. You know, we'll put a link on the show notes to check out her little place. She'll be also exhibiting at this fair. It's a street fair. It's pretty cool, you know, Christmas time in Burbank. Yeah, drop us a line. We'll let you know where everything is, or check out the show notes. We'll have all kinds of stuff on. Hey, I want to invite you to get involved with us. We are at inhisshoes.org as well as epostle.net. Great places to start off. Of course, we're on Facebook. You can check us out, see all the wonderful things that are happening. I want to thank you for joining us on behalf of the crew that put together today's show. Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Jesus is the reason of the season.